If you would this morning, take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes, that's the book right after the book of Proverbs, written by the same human author, written by the same author, the Holy Spirit, using Solomon as he writes. And we're in Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and we'll begin reading in verse number 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is a very familiar passage of Scripture sometimes that folks use. It's the Scripture that says there's a time for everything. And you come down to verse number 14. Solomon says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before Him. Everything the Lord does is to prove to us that He's God. And here in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes in verse 14, whatsoever God does, it just simply says and states that He does it forever, that we might fear before Him. Look at verse number 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. There is a time for every purpose. There's a time for every work. Verse number 15 sometimes gives us a little problem when we read this to try to understand it. It says, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. Really what it says there is that there's nothing new under the sun. And Solomon says that in another place, that there is nothing that is new before us. There is nothing that is different before us, because what has been will be, and what we're seeing now has been, and it'll be again. We sort of put it like this: history repeats itself. And so we find here in these verses, as we in the beginning of this new year, it's an amazing thing for us to, as we've already stated, how quickly the year has gone by, how quickly time has progressed, and the ticks of the clock have come into the days of the week, and the weeks have turned into months, and now the months have turned into a year that has passed by, and we are facing a whole new system of counting time. As I've said so many times, God doesn't change His way. God, nothing new with Him. But we have to have a way of counting time to mark where we are and to mark progress or not having progress. And the date 2012, well, that doesn't even sound right. And when I was a kid, I remember many times I would count up how old I would be at certain times. And if I got to this one, I probably said, my, I'll be old. Well, it's getting there. And so we find that time goes by so very quickly. Every once in a while you'll think about, well, it hasn't been too long since this happened. And when you start putting the pencil to it and subtracting the days and the years, you'll find that that which doesn't seem like it's been very long has been 20, 25 years. That which has gone by so very quickly, and the time before us. I don't know, we don't know the future. There's no way that we can tell future events other than what the Scripture gives us concerning the rapture and the coming of the Lord and those prophesied events. But we certainly can know and be forewarned of some things that we can prepare for in this new year. The new year will hold some challenges to each of us. The new year will hold some difficulties for us. The new year will hold some blessings for us. And so therefore, we need to learn how to prepare. And according to our text here, we find that it's something that's just going to happen regardless, and nothing new under the sun. History does repeat itself, and therefore we can be forewarned and we can be forearmed that God holds us accountable. I believe the generation in which we live is very accountable to God for how we stand before Him, the things that we do, because we have the example of the past. And every time we look back, we see mistakes that were made in the past that should teach us, that should help us not to make the same mistakes tomorrow or the next day, but many times it doesn't. But another thing that will hold us accountable is that we have a Bible before us that tells us what we are to do and how that we are to live. It has been said that hindsight is often 20/20. We can always look back and say, well, I should have done this or I should have done that. And it's easy to mark our problems. It's easy to mark and say what we could have done. But it is with blessed assurance that I can say to you this morning that our future is 20/20 also. For we have a great vision of what the Lord has for us in the time that He gives us upon this world, that we are to serve Him. And with our Bible in our hand, we can do the work that the Lord has given unto us, because we have a more sure word of prophecy, according to 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 19. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. We need to take heed because God's given us His perfect word. We can read it, we can take heed to it, we can trust it. We have a proven book. We have a book, therefore, that we can face 2012 with hope and assurance and confidence that God will help His people. I'm glad this morning we're on the winning side. We're seeing a lot of problems in our world. We're seeing a lot of difficulties in our nation. We see a lot of problems in our own locations and our local governments and local ways of people living. But I understand no one thing, that I have a book that I can depend upon and can trust Him, because as our song said this morning, and thank you, Brother Bradley, for that first song, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday was another year. Today's a new year, but our God is still the same. And when it comes to tomorrow or next year, He still will be the same. We have a book that tells us some things for certain. There are some things that we can know. I don't know when the Lord's coming. I just know He's coming. I don't know what all the different things are to transpire other than what the Scripture gives us. But I know that He has things in control, and God will handle them accordingly. And nothing will ever happen without God's permission. Nothing will ever take place without God either ordering it or permitting it to happen. You see, we believe in a sovereign God. We believe in a God that controls and the world in which we live. And we realize that God has certain ways and means that He can make things happen just according to thus saith the Scripture. We can know some things for sure. I can know for certain this morning that in this year that is ahead of us, according to the Word of God, that Satan is going to be very, very active. He's not going to slow down. He's not going to give up. He's not going to change his ways. The problems that we have talked about this morning with Brother Olabi there in Nigeria, they are reworked in many, many areas around this world. They are restated in different ways, in different peoples, and with different countries, because the devil is very active, and he is going to continue to be active to fight against the work of God. For the work of God and the man of God and the preacher and the church, these are instruments in God's hand that enters into the kingdom of darkness and snatches people from darkness and brings them into the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the devil, Satan, is not going to sit by and watch that take place without a fight. But I'm glad I know who's on the winning side. I'm glad I know who's the winner. Jesus Christ has already conquered all the problems and all the things, and we just have to take those things as they come our way. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we are in a battle because we need to put on the whole armor of God. And He gives us the list of that armor that we are to put on that helps our head and our breast and our thighs, our feet, a shield of faith, and all those things, the Word of God, everything apart of that armor of God, that whereby we can be able to stand against the wiles or the darts or the ways of the wicked one. Why? So that we can fight it off, because we're in a battle. The problem this morning is sometimes we think the devil's going to lay his armor down, but he doesn't. We think he has gone off on the corner somewhere, and so we lay our armor down. We get tired of doing good things. We become weary in well-doing. If we're not careful, about the time that happens, we'll find out that the devil's alive and well. And he's active, and he'll be busy. I may not know when Jesus is coming, but I know the devil's working right now. I may not know what's going to take place tomorrow, but I can know one thing. I know what's happening today in the lives of people. The Scripture tells us that the devil is out to destroy and to deter the people of God because he hates them. There are three times the Bible tells us this little phrase, "This I know." Three times, two in the book of Psalms, and another time in 1 Kings. Three times that little phrase, "This I know." One of them had to do with God manifesting Himself to that woman that her child had died, and Elijah came and laid on that child, and the child gained his life back, and the woman said, "Because you have manifested these things of the Lord, this I know, that God is with you." Two times in the book of Psalms, David is talking about his enemy and how that the Lord would do certain things for him, and he says, "This I know, the Lord is with me." This morning we can understand the works of the world and the fiery darts of the wicked one, but we can also know God's with us and He's there for our help and our protection. So we can know this morning that the devil in 2012 is going to be very active. He may point right in on your life. We know he's active in the world, but it may become a personal battle. It may become something that he puts right upon you, and the tragedies and the problems and the sorrows may come as they did to Job's life one day. But they do not come without God permitting it and God knowing it and without God's help. And so this morning we better know for sure that the devil has not laid down his armor. He's very active and he will continue to be active. And the second thing we can know is that this society that the devil runs and controls, you see, the Bible does say that he is the god of this world. And so therefore, if he's god of this world, you can be assured that this world is in his control for the most part, and it will continue to deteriorate. Now, we would like to see things get better. Our government thinks the more money you put into something, the better it becomes. That's been proven wrong time and time again. Our government seems to think that we can buy friends. And so you just funnel the money to a country, and that country turns their back upon us and destroys the effectiveness of America. And so we wish society would be better, and we try every means and every way. I remember back a few years ago, we had all this beautify America, and nothing wrong with beautifying America. I think we ought to have our country. I think we ought to have our land as good as it can be. But I tell you what, I don't worship the land I walk on. I worship the God that said, "Let there be." And I believe we need to understand that this old society in which we're living, it is not going to get any better. You say, "Well, preacher, you're preaching a negative message." No, I'm positively trying to teach you the truth that it's not going to get any better. This world in which we're living in is deteriorating and crumbling underneath our feet, and seemingly all that we can do is watch it. Oh, but we can pray for it. We can pray God to help us and to deliver us. Timothy tells us in the second book of Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." This know also. We know that some things are going to happen, and in these last days, perilous. The word perilous, dangerous times. Struggling times. Demonic times. I'm telling you what, I believe America is bombarded by demonism. We've got all kind of clinical names for it, but I believe a lot of it's just simply demonism. And the work of the wicked one, and society is crumbling beneath the foundation underneath us is going away, and you can just be assured it's going to continue, because the love of many shall wax cold, and it's going to get worse and worse. That's what the book says. I believe sin will escalate until the Lord comes and sits upon His throne. I believe it will continue to digress and continue to get bad until Jesus comes and establishes His kingdom. So I know for sure if the Lord comes right now, we've got 7 more years of deterioration. I'm not going to be here for that. I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be raptured out of here. I'm going to be removed from this world. But society is going to continue to crumble. I may have said this even the other day, but I do not believe if the rapture was to occur in this world at 2:15 this afternoon, I don't believe it'd cause much stir in our world. Certain pockets, certain places. I pray it would make a big stir around Grace Baptist Church. If you're left behind, you're in trouble. But for the most part, as far as the world is concerned, we got 7 billion people upon this earth. And other than just a few little areas where God has manifested His grace and has called people unto Himself, there's not going to be any problem. There's not going to be any difficulties. Because the society in which we live has made its decision and its choice, and they're going the wrong way against God. We've had 45 years of no influence in our schools out of this book. That's two or three generations that have nothing. No wonder those that's in control now of my age, no wonder those that's coming after us, no wonder there's no righteousness, no wonder there's no sense of God or godliness, because they've never been taught it, and families do not go to church, and parents don't take their children, and things are crumbling in society. Well, that's just the day we live. That's true. But as a child of God, we ought not be satisfied with it. We ought to fight against it for our own family. You can be assured that the devil's alive and well. He's active. You can be sure that society is going to deteriorate. When we enter into next year, if the Lord doesn't come, and we have another January the 1st, next year, society is going to be worse then than it is now. Go back last year. I believe we're worse off now than we were 365 days ago. You double that another year and another year, and we're worse off. Why? Society's changing. Things are accepted. Things are talked about. Things are just common every day that used to be talked about behind closed doors. Our kids in our high school talk about and experience more than I ever thought about. And if I did think about it, I made sure nobody knew I was thinking about it. Especially my mom and dad, because they'd rattle my cage. They'd take care of my thoughts. Like, knock your brains out. But now our kids talk about everything. They talk about open, blatant ungodliness. Oh, they do that in Christian school. Come and be with us a while. Sure they do. You know why? Because they hear it on the television. They hear it out of their parents' mouth. They hear it in the society in which they live. They're bombarded with it all the time. And it's accepted. Brother Sisson says all the time, the more a thing is done, the more that it's accepted as right. You can tell a lie long enough until that lie is believed to be truth. I hear lies every week, and nobody ever thinks a thing about it. I heard one other day, and it almost passed by my thoughts. Just on television, a blatant lie. Society is deteriorating. We can know for certain, though, that as we live in these last days, God's grace is sufficient. Thank the Lord this morning. My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness, Paul said. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Paul's talking about infirmities of his flesh. We can glory in the things around us that the power of Christ may rest upon us. God will never place more upon us than we can bear. Whatever comes to us in 2012, it'll be all right. God can handle it. He'll never put more on us than we can take, because He knows our point. He may take us to our breaking point, but He will not take us past the breaking point. He knows, and His grace is sufficient to help us. And I'm glad this morning that in this new year I can be assured and I can know that His grace is there for us. His grace is there for us to drain and to get from Him and to put upon our life. We can also know that not only His grace is sufficient, but thank God His mercy is available. He is merciful to all of us. The Bible says in Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. The reason we're here this morning is because of the mercy of God. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. His compassion is always there. His mercy is always there. And we are here this morning because He has not failed in His life, in His area for our lives. The Bible says in verse 23, they are new every morning. And then the little passage there, great is thy faithfulness. Thank God He's faithful. When I'm not faithful, He's faithful. When I'm not true, He's faithful. When we go our own way, do our own thing, live the way we want to live, thank God He's still faithful. His mercy endures forever. His grace is sufficient for us, and His mercy is available for us. Forgiveness is assured for the repentant heart. If we will come to Him, He will in no wise cast out. Thank God He's good this morning. As bad as our world is, I can be assured that He will meet my needs. How do you know that? Well, His book says it. He'll meet my needs. Now, I'm afraid America lives on wants. We have a dull sense of difference between wants and needs. He hasn't said He would supply my wants. But He has said He would supply my needs. I may want a lot of things, but God will give me just what I need. I may desire things. One of the problems that American Christians have is things. One of the problems that this preacher has is things. I listened again. Someone put on the internet last night Brother Solomon's testimony that he gave here in 1990. I put it on there about the prayer request, and somebody got it off of our website and put it on Facebook, and that thing went everywhere. I sat there and I said, I'm just going to listen to this. And once again, I realized how much I do not trust God. He preached that back in 1990, right here behind this pulpit. And he tells about when he came to America and didn't have anything. He said, God, if I was in Africa, my mom would take care of this. Aren't you greater than my God, my mom? If you haven't heard that, you ought to go to the website and listen to his testimony. But he'll meet our needs. He'll take care of our supply. He'll take care of what we must have. David said he had not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. Who of us in here this morning can say the Lord hadn't well taken care of me? We're better off now than we've ever been. I personally, probably most of us, we're better off. As far as physical things are concerned. But we may not be doing so well spiritually. It's not things that make us spiritual. It's a heart of belief. It's a people that will believe what the Bible says, regardless of what somebody else says. We need to take what the Bible says regardless of what the preacher says. We need to take the Bible regardless of what my friends say. So many times we compare ourselves to somebody else. We need to compare ourselves to Him. I can compare my, I can justify everything that I do or want to do when I say, well, so and so, they do that. They say it's okay. That's how our kids do when we're training and teaching and trying to get them to do right in the house. They say, well, so-and-so does that. We're not talking about so-and-so. We're talking about you. If you're going to compare yourself, compare him to the Lord. What does He require? What does He suggest? What does He tell us? We can be assured His mercy is there, available. He'll take care of our needs according to His riches and glory. And we can be assured that He is faithful. Thank God He's faithful. And then He will reward the faithful. Well, I just don't get nothing down here. We're not working for down here. We're working for over there. Now, I'm not doing all I do in order to get to heaven. But I sure do enjoy what I'm doing because I'm going to heaven. And He has promised to reward us. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Here Paul says he's going to reward my faithfulness. If you are faithful to God, He'll be faithful to you. He will bless. He says that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not empty. I've done a lot of labor that's empty, but never anything empty for the Lord. In this year, 2012, you can rest assured that this old book is still right. Somebody said, oh, it's out of date. Show me one verse that's out of date. Somebody tells me that. I said, well, tell me. Show me. Here it is. And I'll tell them, you can even use your version if you want to. Now, I'm King James all the way. But I'll tell you what, I can take some of these perverted things and lead somebody to the Lord. The Lord has preserved so much of His Word. As bad as good news for modern man was, there's enough in there to tell somebody how to be saved. So you just show me where it's out of date. You show me where it doesn't work. Show me where it is not right. You can rest assured in 2012. That sounds like a science fiction number, doesn't it? You show me anywhere in the Word of God where in 2012 He will not do what He said He'd do. I'll give you something better than that. Show me somewhere in 2011 that He did not say or did not do what He said He would do. He's going to do it. This year ahead of us, I can know this book is real. And therefore, I can know I can trust Him. Job said in chapter 13, verse number 15, Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Job had gone through many, many troubles. I dare say none of us have gone through that. And Job's wife said, won't you just curse God and die? She needed to get her heart right. That's her problem. And Job said, though He slay me, I may take my last breath. Though He kill me, I'm going to trust in Him. Buddy, that's trust. He's taken my crops. He's taken my animals. He's taken my children. He's taken everything I've got. And He may take me. But Job said, I'm going to trust Him. That's having assurance. That's knowing for certain God can be trusted. He can be. You can trust Him with your life. Oh, somebody said, I've been saved, but I just can't trust Him to do. If you trust Him with your life, you can trust Him with anything. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to trust. Just trust the Lord. Because His book says you can. His book says He'll never leave you. His book says He's always there. His book says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2011, 2012, 2013. 4092 if it comes long enough. He's the same. I know society's wicked. I know society's terrible. I know, and by the way, election November this year is not going to change society. Just not going to do it. Don't put your hope in that. I'm as fired up about stuff as other people are, but I know one thing, it's not going to be that changes my society. All things going to change is the coming of the Lord and setting up a new society. So this year ahead of us, we've got 364 days, 365 days, this leap year. I heard where somewhere they're going to do away with leap year, that extra day. I don't know what they're going to do with it, but they're going to. Ever how many days we got from now to next year, I can depend on the Lord. I can trust Him. I can know things are bad. I can know all that. I don't know when He's coming, but I can trust Him till He comes. May God help us to believe. Paul said, if we believe. Thank God we do. May we love and work for Him until He comes for us. May we understand and know the days may go by, as Job said, faster than a weaver's shuttle, but we can serve Him. We can be what we should be for Him. Even in our failures, He can help us. So I ask you this morning, first of all, do you know Him? That's number one. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm not talking about being baptized. I'm not talking about anything other than, do you know Him? Are you saved? And if we are saved, then we can trust Him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. May we do that every day of 2012. Trust in the Lord. He has brought us to a new year, and these things I know. Don't know a lot, but I know these things. And then I do know He's coming. Just don't know when. Let's stand together this morning.